The Desperate Ones excerpts, podcast one. Lola hugged herself into the seat of the carriage as the train shuddered and righted itself with a thunderous rumble. Everything went black. There'd been another blast somewhere in the tunnel. A jolt threw her into the guy next to her. Of all the seats in the carriage, the sod had to sit there. He was coming off blue, rocking himself, froth gathering at the corners of his mouth. She could smell it. Really terrible, like rancid onions and solvent. She had to hold her hand to her nose to keep from choking. Just when you thought about getting off blue, you ended up in real close proximity to somebody who's doing just that, and, well, it sets you off the idea. Everything's more than fine with a steady dose, but once that's off, you sweat it out, and it's ugly. She considered getting clean, doing it before they rolled up this sad stall of a city and called it closed, but why bother? If she was going to meet her maker, she wanted him to recognize her. The carriage was near empty. The punter wearing prayer tags stood by the doors, clearing his throat over and over and swaying beneath an ad. "Blessed are the simmers, for time is short, the vision long." Behind her, a baby wailed, no doubt processing this odious darkness for the first time. "That's right, babe, you can destroy yourself in multiple ways. Choose one." The train stopped at Barrel Street, and a piebald gentleman in a gray suit departed the hissing doors, and some plainclothes Bobby got on. He honed the blue-downing smell right away, accosting the addict. Couldn't he see the guys getting off it? But of course, go for the one who can't fight. If you're on the stuff, you can hold your own. It's a more than fair fight. She put her head down, squishing herself against the carriage wall, taking in the ad on the floor. "Omega manna, for when morning comes, now in white resin." Let the Bobby take the trembling jerk. He wept openly and recited a jumbled prayer-day litany as he was cuffed. Nice try, but the plainclothes was unmoved and pulled the guy whimpering from his seat. He left only a waft of fetid blue in his wake and a glistening moon of hair grease in the carriage window. Lola stood as the train lurched into motion, speeding down the dark tunnel. She'd been riding the circle long enough. Time to get off. Underneath that festering chemical, another smell surfaced, clean and clear. That smell was how blue got its name, or at least that's how she always thought of it. A smell like the sky. Her whole body lit up at the thought. Blue, named also for the iridescent bruise left around the needle mark, and for how sad you got when you were off it. Blue. She put her hand in her pocket and wrapped her fingers around the warm vial. "Milk Street," the androgynous program voice called out as the doors hissed open.